Okay, good evening everyone. What I want to discuss tonight is in part a continuation of last week, but it's really very much separate and a lot of very important and ikar halachas within the halachas of Ma'aseh Ksavim, within the halachas of the proper usage of Ma'aseh Ksavim, where your Ma'aseh Ksavim could go to. And specific topic for tonight is usages in your own home, usages for your own children, for your own family. Where is it appropriate to use your Ma'aseh Ksavim? Where is it not appropriate to use Ma'aseh Ksavim for your parnasa of your own children, younger children, older children, or for their chasanas or for tuition, etc. Okay, so so let's start with in general the idea of whether or not one can use Ma'aseh Ksavim to actually feed and clothe his children. Could he support his bringing up his own children on his Ma'aseh Ksavim? So what's the shaila? I mean, the basic shaila is that the rule we've seen before is that davar shebechova, something which you're obligated to do, even though it might be a mitzvah, but you can't use Ma'aseh Ksavim for. You can't use Ma'aseh Ksavim to pay your debts or spend money on something that the Torah is mechayiv you to spend money on. Ma'aseh Ksavim is for, as we mentioned in the past, primarily to go to aniyim and to go to people that are omel b'Torah. And we use it in a more general sense. We use it for other things as well. Nowadays, we said it's best to make it tznai in advance when you take upon yourself if you want to use it for to give to the shul and to the mikveh and various other forms of Torah life and communal Torah institutions.
That's okay.
It is okay. We said that's the second level. Really, as I said, it has become nohuk to do that, to use Ma'aseh Ksavim for that as well. We said it is best, the Chafetz Chaim recommend, many recommend, it is best that when you first undertake the Indian of Ma'aseh Ksavim, because we said Ma'aseh Ksavim, we paskin, is not a chiyuv gamur altogether. It's a minug tov. So when you undertake to fulfill that minug, it's a recommended minhag, absolutely. But when you undertake to fulfill it, it's best that you stipulate that I'm undertaking it with the understanding that I'm not limited to use it davka for aniyim or davka for people that are sitting and learning, but I should be able to use it for other forms of mitzvahs. Not my own mitzvahs, not to buy myself an esrog, and not to do it for other basic mitzvahs that I'm mechuyev to do, but things like donating to the, local mikveh. I don't mean a woman using it when she goes and she actually, if there's a fee that they require for, I'm talking about somebody sending in a donation, sending in a check to the mikveh. The mikveh is doing a fundraiser, or they're not doing a fundraiser, but they need funds. So you send in a check to help for the upkeep and maintenance of the mikveh. So it is no hook to use Ma'aseh Ksavim for that, but it's best to stipulate that mirosh. Okay. But for things that are absolute chova, you can't use it. So the question is, so where does supporting your children fit in? Is a person obligated to support his children, or is he not? So, okay, so I see, I'm not sure exactly how to interpret the look in your face, but instead of trying to do that, let's try to see what it says in the halacha. So, but what it says in halacha really is that up to the age of six, a person has to support his children, up till they're 6 years old. Once they're 6 years old, so the Iker chiyuv, which based in technically would be kofa you, would force you, would compel a person to do, is over. From 6 to 13, there was a takanas usha, that a person should support his children as well. And even though we don't fully paskin like that, but it is one is supposed to do it, just that in kofin alev, that the level that it's so critical and so crucial, so necessary that basin would be kofi, ends at 6. That doesn't exist between 6 and 13. But between 6 and 13, a person, there is still a, like, there's called like a lower level chiyuv, but nonetheless a chiyuv mitzat takana to support your children. And after that, really, me'ikar adin, there isn't. Once they reach the age 13, me'ikar adin, a person is in mechuyiv to support his children. Now, so the question becomes, okay, so if he's not mechuyav to support his children, so maybe then he should be able to, if he chooses to do so, so it's like any other ani, his children, if he's not going to support them, very likely they're not going to have what to eat and have money to buy themselves clothes and other basic necessities, and maybe they wouldn't even have a roof over their head if he doesn't, you know, let them stay in his house. So he could say, okay, so I'm supporting an ani. I took a poor person into my house and I'm supporting them, so I could use my some money. Is that true or is that not true? So this is a machlokas achronim, we'll start with the Taz and Shach. The Taz says that it is not proper, then one cannot or may not use ma'asik sofen to support his own children, even when they're beyond the age that we mentioned, or certainly even when they're beyond the age 6. Let's just say that certainly till 13, at least till 13, the Taz holds its usher. But the Shach says clearly that nope, that from the age of 6 and on, once they've turned 6, then it is permissible. Let me read the lashon, one lashon of the Shulchan Aruch, Siman Reish and Aleph Sif Gimel. Hanosin lebanov ubnosef hagadolim, one who gives support to his children hagadolim, she'enu chayiv imizonoseim, kedei lelamid esabanim toro, lehanig abanus b'derech hasher, he's doing it in order that he could have hashpa on them, that he could raise them as he wants to see them, the way he wants to see them grow up, etc., etc., etc. So it says, harezev echal tztaka. That's the lashon of Shulchan Aruch. Harizem Shalat Tzaka. Now, what is this? Hanosin Levanu Vinosu Hagedolim. You say, when it says Hagedolim, Hagedolim says the Shach in Sivka and Dalid, Dahainu Shem Yeserim Al Sheish. That's it. Gedolim means older than 6. The Golem doesn't mean 20. It means older than 6. That's what the Shach says here. It's in Reishon and Dalid Shach Sivka and Reishon and Aleph rather Shach Sivka and Dalid. And earlier in Reish Memtes Sivka and Gilmel, the Shach brings a tshuva, the Maharam Rottenberg, that a person is allowed to use ma'asik sofen to support his children. His children as above the age of 6.
So when are we need to say yes and the other one no?
Excuse me?
When they say yes and the other one
right,
no.
So far. But so far we said machlok the Taz and the Shach. Now, the Chavetz Chaim and Avos Chesed says unequivocally like the Shach, that it is mutter. One is allowed to use ma'asik sofen to support his children. That's what the Chavetz Chaim writes. And again, all these halachas in the Chavetz Chaim are in the second chelik around Perik Samin Yud Ches, Samin Yud Ches, I believe is in Perik Yud Ches. Chavetz Chaim says that it is mutter. And there are a number of other poskim that go along with this. The Lashon of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach in a tshuva, which is printed in a couple of places, is that his Lashon is Rabu Hamatirim Al Ha'osrim. Those who say it's mutter and that one can use ma'asafim are in a greater number than those that say it's usher. That's the lashon of Rav Shlomo Zalman. That having been said, Rav Shlomo Zalman himself is amongst those that say, but don't do it. First of all, Derech HaShulchan says in Siman Reish Mem Tes, I forget what Sif it is, maybe Sif Yud, I think, I'm not sure, says that it's usher. The Chazon Ish is quoted in a couple of places. Rav Chaim Kanievsky quotes him in Derech Amun, I believe it's quoted also in the Archos Rabbeinu, that the paskening not to do it, that one should not or cannot do it. And as I said, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach passed that way, and many others pasken that way as well. So we have a very big machlokas poskim here. There's the Rav Shlomo Zalman quotes from the Chafetz Chaim, and the Derech HaShulchan brings this down too, that the following, that even though the Chafetz Chaim and Avos Chesed says is mutter, but there's a Chazal that says Ha'oset Staka B'chol Eis Zeh HaMefarnes Banav U'Benosav HaGedolim. What's one who supports his children Gedolim, mean above the age of, but the, from the time, from the age that he's not Mechuyev, one who supports them is called Oset Staka B'chol Eis. He's doing Staka constantly because every time he puts dinner or the breakfast, lunch, and supper on the table, Oset Staka. Anytime he, you know, buys his child new his, grows out of his pants, he grows him the next pair of pants, next size shoes, he's doing staka by supporting his kids. So this is called Oset Staka B'chol Eis. So in that, says the Chavetz Chaim, well, the Chavetz Chaim brings down, the, I think the lashon they use is Darshei Rishimos. I mean, like the, you know, Halakha Jews who understand, who are capable to say drushes on psukim, say, they shtel tzu, there's another pasuk. There's a pasuk in Parshas Achrimos, when it's talking about the Kohen Gadol's restrictions and vis-a-vis permissibility to enter the Kodesh Kadoshim, the lush in the pasuk there is Va'al Yavo B'chol Eis El HaKodesh. That tell Aaron, Moshe Rabbeinu, tell Aaron, Lal Yavo B'chol Eis, that lush in B'chol Eis, he can't go to the Kodesh Kadoshim just whenever he wants. So they say, aha, when it says Ha'osid, one who supports his kids, his own children, is Osid Staka B'chol Eis. But Val Yavo B'chol Eis Elakod. With that B'chol, with that type of Staka of Osid Staka B'chol Eis, Lo Yavo B'chol Eis Elakodesh. That's not going to really get you where you want to get to in the Olam Ha'Evis. It's Staka, but it's not exactly the type of Staka that you could, you know, put up a plaque on your front door saying, "Here lives the great Parnassan and Nadvan, Mr. So and So, who constantly supporting his children on a daily basis. Everybody should come in and give him a bigger." No, so the Chavetz Chaim himself says this. Although the Chavetz Chaim says clearly, not as chesed, it's mutter like the Shach, but he says he indicates that it's not the highest form of tzedakah. On top of that, Rav Moshe in Teshuva writes, this is in Teshuva in the Yoredei Aleph Simen Kuf Mem Gimel, one of the Teshuvas I believe we've referenced before, that Rav Moshe learns al pi the Aran that the chiyuv to support one's children, if the children are living with his wife, whether he's there as well or not, then it's bechlal parnasas ishto. Part of his chiyuv to be mefarnes his wife is to provide enough food that she can feed the kids. So Rav Moshe says memela, he holds lemaisa, it's not nogel, this whole halacha, even if we pass like the shach maker din, the way society is nowadays, the way things are set up, there's no question that it's a chiyuv on each person to support his children, like he has to support his wife. He has to, within the support of his wife, is the idea of providing enough parnasa, enough food, or enough, you know, enough cash, that she can feed the children. And therefore Rav Moshe says, for sure, one's chayiv to do it. And a number of the svarim say this also, that Rav Shlomo Zalman says this and some others, that if there's a law where you live, if that's the law of the land, that you have to support your children, you're obligated to do so by civil law. So Memela also, the Machlokas, it doesn't apply, and Memela you have to do it. Now the stipler in Archos Rabbeinu rejects that. He says it doesn't make a difference what the secular government says. It's not relevant to the Shilohists, but others, Rav Shlomo Zalman says it is, and others say that it is relevant, that once you live in a society, either where it's absolutely obligatory by law, or even, some say even that it's just the pashut norm. You will not find a person, nobody will be able to hold his head up if he, you know, if he sends his kids out with a collection can once they are on their sixth birthday, and that's how they eat dinner each night. So, Memela. So some say like even once that's the norm where you live, some Memela can't do it. So Lamaisa, though, the bottom line is that is not proper to do that. It is not correct thing to do. Although it might, as you said, might be technicalitarian, but it's not the right thing to do. One should not use Maisik Sofim for young children. Now, okay, but what about when they get much older and they're already, let's talk about when they're, well, either when they're capable of or maybe actually are earning their own living, and certainly when they're married. Let's say once they're married, so then the Asarim, I believe, unequivocally say that it is mutter, one is allowed to use Meiser money for his children, that to support his married children, and that would mean one of two ways: either if they have trouble making ends meet, there even if the they're not necessarily his son or son-in-law isn't in Kollel, he's whatever, he's working, or maybe he's going to medical school, or he's going to whatever, it's a lot, or he's trying to learn a profession, or he's trying to build up a business or a profession, but meanwhile he's not quite making it. So that would be one situation. Or the other situation, if they're learning, if his son or son-in-law is learning in Kollel, there, even if technically he could support himself, he does have, let's say, he has savings or he has whatever it is, he has some sort of income. But if by giving him money, it'll make it easier for him, that's one of the ways that Magdurit. If Lamaisa, it's not just the money you give him, the father gives him, it's just going away into one of his 16 bank accounts, you know. He has enough, and if his father wouldn't give him the money, he would be able, he's not going to go hungry, but still, the money from his parents is making it easier, and he can learn with more Yeshiva Das, and etc. That would also be mutter, because, again, we said that the main toelis, or the main purpose of Maisik Safim is either aniyim or people that are sitting and learning, even if they're lavdaf kaniyim. So once one's married children fit into either one of those two categories, and aniyim again doesn't mean a person who walks around in rags and chas v'shalom sitting at a street corner. That's not what I mean. It means that people that are they're not making their monthly income doesn't cover their monthly expenses. They're not making it. So either if the children fit into either one of those categories, so then certainly at the point where they're married children, it would be mutter to use ma'aser money for that.
Is that the common opinion or it's ma'aser
yes.
gedolah?
No, that's a common opinion. Now, the shaila is, what about using money for their chasanas? Could one use ma'aser money for, once his child is getting married, could he use ma'aser money to pay for the chasana and the various expenses of the chasana? So now let's go back to the point we started with. Well, we said dover shevachova, if it's something that's obligatory, you can't use ma'aser money. If it's not obligatory, you can. Supporting your children once they're married out of the house is not obligatory, so that you can do. But what about the chasna? Are you obligated to pay for your child's chasna, or are you not obligated? So this is a big nidun in the svarim.
Does the kid have to give ma'aser on the money that his parents give him? He's married. And yeah. So he said for tranquility of mind, that would count as a reason also. Does he have to give ma'aser on that money?
So I think we said earlier that
make a stipulation. You said earlier if they make like a specific stipulation, then you can't give ma'aser.
Right.
Let's say they just gave.
If they don't, then really, yes, he should. It is proper for the couple that's getting the money, as long as they can afford to give ma'aser. They're at least together with this money, or without this, they're making ends meet to the point where they can afford to give ma'aser. Then yes, then they should. They should give ma'aser for that money, yes. Okay, so going back to the question, is a parent obligated to marry off his children, meaning to pay for it? He definitely has to be mishtadel to marry off his children. That the father definitely has to do. The question is, does the mishtadel mean just to go, find them a proper shidduch and help make the shidduch happen? Or does it mean actually paying for the chasna and the chas expenses? So this is a big shaila in the poskim. So almost all the svarim go to a tshuva. There's a tshuva in the Marsham, Chelik Aleph of the Marsham, and not that long ago, the Marsham was, almost within reach. Chelik Aleph, Simon Lamed Beis, where he discusses this, and he basically comes out that at least if it's difficult, you could. Meaning, the svarim quote him Lakula, that the Marsham is saying Lakula that be'etzim you're really not mechuyev to spend money on it, and memeila you could use ma'aser k'safim, that you really that it's not considered a davar shebechova, and at least he's at least mekel for a case where the person has it difficult. And also, what's a very important point is that almost everyone points out that you should be clear about it when you undertake an obligation. Let's say you're talking to the mechutanim about the chasen, who's going to pay for this, going to pay for that, and et cetera, et cetera. And also, when you undertake to provide support, whether it's for your son-in-law and daughter, or whether it's for your son, you should clearly stipulate, at least you don't have to necessarily tell them or even tell them chutin, but make sure you have it in mind that you stipulate to yourself that your intention is to take it from my most meister. Because if you stop, take upon yourself a chiyuv that you're going to give your let's say your son-in-law X amount of dollars per month, and you weren't even thinking about ma'aser, maybe you're sitting at the shir, you say, oh, that's a great idea, I didn't know, I've been paying whatever every month, great, I can take it from ma'aser, so starting July 1st. No, that doesn't work that way. If you were mechayiv yourself, then it becomes a davar shebechova. Mechayiv yourself to do it, not for most ma'aser. So the svarim clearly state that a person should at least have that in mind, and realize, or at least, let's say, at the time you do it, the person is not sure. At that point, he's not sure himself, but at least he should have that in mind, that if I could take this from ma'aser, then that's my intention. Meaning, I'll ask the Rav if I can do it or not. We're not finished going through the shittas so far. I've said over the Marsham. But so if you're not sure if you can or not, and you want to b'shas ma'aser clarify it, at least have that in mind, that that's your intention. If it's mutter, that it's going to come from ma'aser.
If a person starts doing something like this, let's say he was supporting his family without thinking about ma'aser money, and then he realizes he's alaha, can he use change, or he needs to do a tarnearin, or?
So it depends which case. Again, if you're talking about the one who's supporting his 14-year-old son and a 15-year-old son who's home, he definitely can't make can't support himself. And you heard in this year that his mutter may rabu hamatira mal
ha'isman.
So something like that. Theoretically, you could change because it's you're machayiv yourself. You've just been doing it, but if you hold that it's mutter, based on the first part of tonight's discussion, that it's mutter to do that, you would never machayiv yourself. So then you could switch. But I'm saying if you machayiv yourself, you told you're speaking to the mechutanim and you say, okay, if this shidduch goes through, I'll put up. But I don't want to give numbers, but I'll put up X amount of dollars per month for your son. If your son marries my daughter, this is what I'll pay per month. And at that point, you had no intention of taking it from my son. Maybe you didn't know or whatever. You thought you wouldn't have to. Then once you machayiv yourself, then you can't just switch.
But if the person took on him that responsibility, would he think, he thought about the master who said, it's not allowed. So he didn't choose it because it wasn't allowed, not because he didn't want it.
I'm not so sure, but I would have to, Yesh La'ayin, if that he would have, but he had no suffix. Like, he didn't say himself, I'm going to ask a Shaila. He said, it was pashut him, it's not allowed. So, it was a fleeting thought. He said, if only I could take this from my sir. No. So, but, okay, I don't know.
As long as I feel I could do it.
It was understood that there's no. So then, lechari, you could do it. If there's no real ischayvus, and you really, if you needed to, or if you really wanted, you could tell him, I'm sorry, I don't think I'm gonna be able to continue this, and without a guilty conscience, or without, no one could have any tainus. Then lechari, you could switch that from then moving ahead, because there's no ischayvus. But if there's ischayvus, you said, which is very common, that they offer support for X number of months, X number of years, a certain amount of dollars. So then it's important to be masna meikara that it's going to come from most maisa. Now, not everyone holds, though, lemaisa that it's mutter. I said over so far that many quote this marsham, and they use this marsham as a tzad heter, but lemaisa, not all the poskim agree that this is mutter, that it's mutter to take for the actual chasna for most maisa. And even those that say it's mutter, but the shaila becomes, well, what's called chasna expenses? A chas, to marry for a child, you don't really need more than certain basics. Most chasnas go, or many chasnas, let's say, many chasnas go way beyond what's necessary, both in terms of how many guests you're inviting, which that, it's certainly not a necessity certainly not for the chassan. Maybe you're inviting your friends, but it's certainly not a necessity for the chassan akala. And many of the other things that may be there are not depending on who's making the chasta, but not always necessity. On the other hand, there's the argument that, well, if you live in a community or you live in today's world where there's a certain standard, and to do something which would just be blatantly different than the standard, it stick out so sorely that the chassan or the kala would be embarrassed, but legitimately embarrassed. I don't mean embarrassed that the father didn't hire or didn't rent out the top notch hall in wherever it is. He rented the second level where where the flowers don't come from Brazil; they only come from South America. I don't know, whatever. I don't mean something like that. I mean, but whereas it's a shtikabusha based on today's standards, so one could argue then that's a necessity. If you're chayiv to marry a child, if you're chayiv to pay for it, so you're chayiv to do it in a way that he's not going to be embarrassed to walk down the aisle in this place where it's dripping from the roof and whatever else, and things like that. So, but what I'm saying is that even if there's a tzad that it's mutter, even there is a tzad that it's mutter, but even like that tzad, one has to know how far you could go with the with this. And so I spoke just recently to Rav Shmuel first, and he felt the chasna, it should not be done. Ma'aseh manis should not be used for the actual chasna. To support the children afterwards, absolutely. But for the actual chasna, he felt very strongly that it should not be, ma'aseh manis should not be used for this. There's a lot, you could share if you're interested in more Ma'ar Makomus on Lekan Lekan, but Lemaisa, certainly one who could afford to do it, not for Ma'aseh money, would be recommended. But I will share. I will share that I saw brought down both B'Shem Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Yashiv and Rav Nissen Karelitz in a couple of svarim that they say it's mutter, and not only mutter, but here we'll get to another nekuda, which is nogea, the support afterwards as well, and that is they discuss even the idea of saving your Meiser money even before you actually need it. Meaning not just, okay, your son got engaged, daughter got engaged, okay, let's see how much Meiser money I have now. But no, but actually putting aside Meiser money in the years before so that it'll be available for when you need for the chasna or be available for supporting them afterwards. So I saw it brought down in a number of sarim that, as I said, Belkin Belyashev and Shlomo Zalman said that it's mutter to do that. They use that lashon. Kishigia lepirkan, when they're in the parsha. So Eliyasha defined that as 17 for a girl and 18 for a boy. This is one place. This is in one of the Mevakshei Torah Kuntresen from Tavshin and Ches. It's also the Sefer Baruch Tzucker brings this. I don't know if he brings that exact age, but I think it's also 17, 18. Interestingly, he brings this Baruch Tzucker brings that when he asked for Shlomo Zalman, what is that? What's called Higia lepirkan? So Shlomo Zalman said, when you're in the parsha personally, come back and we'll discuss it. But he said, he wrote there, unfortunately, Shlomo Zalman was gone before he was in the parsha, so he didn't get, chew of him. I did see down, though, in that Mevakshei Torah, though, he brings from Shem Rav Vosner, that he said it means much younger, once they're, I think he says like 11, 12, 13, but once they're not like little kids anymore, is already, once you start, it's already on your mind, the idea that, this type of thing, you're not in your mind to marry them off tomorrow, but they're not babies anymore, so something around that, much younger age. But Shlomo Zalman, I mean, Rav Yashiv said 17, 18, and Shlomo Zalman, I don't think he meant either. It's hard to know, but it didn't sound like he meant. He told him, come back when it's Nogea. So, well, when is it Nogea? that's good for part of the question. When is it Nogea? But Al Kapanu, they what I'm bringing out, though, is they're obviously going with the Shita that it's okay to do it. It's okay to use Maisa money for this, and not only to use it, but they talk about even saving it up. And so even those that would say that you can't... you can't use it for your own children's chasanas, but for purposes that you can use it, such as to support your children afterwards, then also it would be mutter, to, certainly according to these days and according to many, would be mutter to save the Maisa money. Rav Moshe has a tshuva, where he talks about two brothers who wanted to save up their Maisa for a third brother of theirs who was a bacher, and it says he was probably... He would probably be trying to get married at least in 2-3 years from them, and he was the type that was would want to learn and cuddle afterwards. So they asked Rav Moshe, these two brothers, if they could save Ma'aser Ksufim to help to be able to support their brother, he should be able to sit and learn after the chasna. And Rav Moshe says yes, that they can do it, and it's a big mitzvah for them to do that. Now the case there was a couple of years, like I said, a couple of years before he was likely to be getting married. That's when they asked the shaila. So I don't think even medayik exactly in the tshuva what Rav Moshe holds at what point is mutter, but that was the case there. So see, Rav Moshe is also talking about saving money. He wasn't talking about his own child's chasna. He's talking about a brother's chasna, which is for sure mutter. That's for sure mutter. It's just like if the brother can't afford, or if the parent, I don't know if these people had parents, but if the parents can't afford to make the chasna properly, it's for sure mutter for you to help use your ma'aser ksufim to marry off somebody that needs help, having a chasna, getting married. So that's what Rav Moshe says he could do. Now, the thing is, Rav Moshe writes in that tshuva, though, that you it's not enough just to keep a cheshbon of how much meiser I owe and how much I'm eventually going to use. He said you have to separate the money, either be makne it to the brother, or if you're afraid to do that, you don't want to makne the money because, who knows, it may disappear or whatever else, at least to put it in a separate bank account. He used the word fund. He set up a fund in the bank, separate fund for this purpose, and put the money aside there. He said, Rav Moshe says, like, you have to like get it out of your rishus in order that, he writes that it should be like a keem of the mitzvah tzedakah now, not just later.
Right, like, when you get your salary, that's what the keuv is, or your yearly, annual...
In general?
Yeah. I mean, no, isn't that the sorrow? That's why you have to...
No, but he's only talking about here. He's talking about here where you're planning on holding on to it for a prolonged period of time. A person who gets a monthly check and it doesn't necessarily have to put his mice money aside. In fact, we even mentioned, and Russia doesn't shelzach on this in the tshuva, but we mentioned that if you a person should be careful not to actually designate it specifically that this is my Meiser money, it's my Meiser account, because then you run to shelzach of Baal Ta'acher. If you don't distribute it in time, you could be over Nisr of Baal Ta'acher.
Right time, once a year.
Certainly, if there's shalosh regalim, you'd be over. It could be there's an assay even by one regal, but there's a lav if the three regalim if you don't do it.
So regalim like a korban.
Yes. So what they say is, the Poskim say, the Chazon Ish and others say, we spoke about this in one of the first Shirim, that you could put it aside for convenience reasons, but be careful not to designate it. It's not my Meiser. This is just a way of keeping Cheshbon and making sure that I'll be able to draw on my Meiser. I'll have an account to draw on to give Meiser. It's not my Meiser. I'm putting some of my money in another account. Yeah, in my mind, the Cheshbon is approximately how much I owe Meiser. But don't earmark it as Meiser so that you don't run into Baal Ta'achar problems. So here too, Ramesh doesn't get into that in the Tshuva, but he's concerned though that you should be doing the mitzvot stuck in now and not pushing it off for a few years. So he says, and put in a separate account. When I spoke to Shmuel first about this, he said, yeah, put it in the bank, but he said we're not makbid that it should be davka in the name of the child or anything else. Just a way of making sure it'll be around. But he wasn't particularly. He didn't feel he had to be particularly medacting in this project, certainly not to be maknit to the children. Just he said, just put it aside in a bank account so that it'll be there.
What would happen if you have an emergency? What do you want to use that money? That'd be
awesome. So that's something we'll be able to get deep time. You could, no, a person could, for sure he could. I mean, if he was a maknit to them, for sure he could. If he was maknit to the mamish. Sorry?
If you made a special bait account for
okay,
that,
no, account but it's still his money. For sure, if you do it that way, that it's on your name, and then yeah, you could join it. Now, but reminds us, some Taka recommend that if what we've said till now is from the Poskim that if you want to put aside money for Chasen as Ohol's Mutter, or possibly even for support afterwards, it has to be Kishigil Apirka. It has to be when, you know, a couple of years before it's Nogea, not 20 years before. But some say, but if you give the money to a gemach, and you loan it to a gemach, so that as you give meiser, you loan it to gemach, and you stipulate with the gemach that you could hold on to this till I need it, and whatever you make up with them, how much time, you know, how much notice you have to give them to get it back, whatever, that's for sure okay. Because in the meantime, the money is being used for a legitimate purpose, a legitimate stucker purpose. It's in a gemach, which is primarily helping people that are needy, which is itself a form of meiser. It's a discussion how much of your money you could use for that. But if you do that's then some of them say, then some of the sources say, then you're not even restricted. You could do that even much earlier. So quoting again from my conversation with Rishul first, he felt also that Bizmanenu, he tells people, you could remember, he said not for chasnas, but for supporting the children from the day they're born. He says it's a different world today. The expenses are so much higher. He told me from infancy, you could put aside money to be able to support your children for when they're married, assuming that, you know, at that point that if they'll need it. Like I said before, whether they're aniyim at that point or whether they're lom de tar at that point. Now, but even this, there is a gvul. This one, you shouldn't use all your money for this. So how much yes, how much not? So the number that's used, and it's based on Chasam Sofer, is 50%. That's the number that's most used, that you shouldn't take more than 50% of your Maisa for like basically personal purposes like this. But it's not etched in stone, that number, but that's the, seems to be the recommended number. And so in general, you know, and this is something we didn't discuss so much yet, but in general, there's a din that when it comes to inyanei tzedakah, your own krovim have a kedima. You're supposed to give tzedakah to your own krovim. If they're needy, you're supposed to, they have a kedima over just about everyone else. But it says that even so, you shouldn't give all your tzedakah to your krovim. That some use the lashon of Yarech HaShulchan, and others, if you're going to do that, so then people that don't have krovim that are capable of supporting them, those in the yam are going to get nothing. So a person could use a percent of his money, perhaps half, but not all of it. So they bring Chazon Ish that if you have krovim that are mamish, extremely needy, they're really on the yam dukam, then you take a kaduvo, you could even all of it if necessary. But b'derech klal, it's not a question that they're on the yam dukam, they're on the yam like, they're needy like many other people, so then you shouldn't give all of it, just a part of it. I don't remember the Chazon Ish used the number 50%, but that's the general recommended number. So getting back here, so what we're saying is that to put aside money for your children's support for after the chasana, many say it's mutter to do it. Some would seem to recommend only doing it when they're, a number of years close to when they're actually going to need it. But others are matter even from before. So also, I think in the Sefer Pischei Choshen is also matter from when they're very very young. And as I said, that was the first psak, and that's what he says. He tells people to do. He tells they can do it. I think he recommends doing that in that derech. Okay, so we've spoken about stam support of your kids before the chasnas, after the chasnas, and wedding expenses. Now, the last big area is what about tuition? Tuition for your children, even if we'll go with the shita that you can't support your children, you can't feed them and clothe them from your maisa money, but what about paying for their education, for the Torah education? Sons, daughters, what is the deal there? So here, again, some machlokas poskim, here the Chofetz Chaim and Avos Chesed says, absolutely not.
Oh, wow.
He says, it's also to you, and he's not machalek about what age or what they're learning. Now, what do I mean? Well, if in Shulchan Aruch, it seems to say, in Hilchas Talmud Torah, that a father is only mechuyev, a father is mechuyev to teach his child Torah, but he's only mechuyev to pay for it if it involves paying for Torah Shemiksav. Torah Shemiksav has to come out of his pocket. If the, you know, the Rebbe charges, and whatever, because it's Char Batolo, because whatever it is, the Rebbe charges, and the minig is to charge, then you have to pay if it's Torah Shemiksav. Torah Shebal Peh, you don't have to pay. You have to be Mishtadel to teach your son to try to find him a Rebbe, this and that. But if the only way to do it is with money, and you can't, you know, you're not mechuyev to pay. So some ask, they ask on the Chofetz Chaim, so like, why wasn't he mechalik between children that are younger and the learning Torah Shebiksav, and once they get a little bit older and the learning Torah Shebapeh, why wasn't he mechalik? But he wasn't mechalik, and he's quoted the source of the Chofetz Chaim. What are the sources? The Eliyahu Rabin, Zim Kufnan Vav B'Shem Chumas Be'er Sheva says like that as well, and Yaruch HaShulchan as well. Yaruch HaShulchan says that you cannot pay schar limud for your children. Also, you know, basically not mechalik. You can't take schar limud from your children from most meiser. Others, however, say not like this. The one of the main shuvas that they all quote is the shuvas Pri Yitzchak. Pri Yitzchak was a Rav Yitzchak Paterberg, a Talmud Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. In his shuvas Chelik Beis Simin Chav Zayin, he says that it is mutter for children that are learning Mishnah and Gemara. Not for Tarshu B'Ksah, but he makes this chilek, and once they learn Mishnah and Gemara, it's mutter to pay the schar limud from Ma'aser Ksafim, because you're not mechuyev. It's not a davar shebechova. That's been our rule all along. It's not a davar shebechova anymore to pay for it. The svarim bring down yes and no. It's interesting. Just quickly, just looking at Shulchan Aruch Harav. Shulchan Aruch Harav is quoted on both sides of this shaila. Some quote him that he holds his mutter. Some quote him that he holds his aser. You can look it up yourself in Hilchas Talmud Torah in the Shulchan Aruch Harav. But one thing I just want to point out, Shulchan Aruch Harav, when he talks about what the chiyuv is for a father to teach his son Torah, he talks about, he says the following, that he says, "Ubizman hazeh, shekala tarash bal peh, hiksuva lefaneinu," it's all written down now, we have printed shasin, "ain't sarach lischar malamid levnosh yilam denu kala tarash bal peh," you don't have to hire someone to teach your son every single mission, every single piece of Gemara, because he could look it up and know it. But Talmud, Makomos, you have to hire somebody. To hire somebody to lischar malamin, to teach your child to be able to learn, but Talmud Barova Makomos, gam b'halachos v'sugis ha'mukos, imrov haposkim rishonim v'achronim. You have to make sure you hire a rabbi to make sure your son becomes a real lamdin, and he could open up a Birka Shmuel and a Rashba, you know, whatever, and understand it, and. Imrov haposkim rishonim v'achronim v'yamidenu al iyun ha'halacha l'maisa sheyuchel la'ayin ba'atzmo lilmor l'lahavim l'lahoros kol halacha l'maisa mitoch iyun b'tamud haposkim rishonim v'achronim v'azai yuchel ha'ben lilmor ba'atzmo kol ha'tam v'azidemu. That's all you have to do. You have to set him up with a rebbe, pay a rebbe to teach him till he's a grace alamdin, and then he could do the rest himself. Then he could open up the Gemara himself and open up the you know, look at the Rashi and the Taisus and the Rashba and the, you know, and the Shach and the Taz himself, because he has the tools. You just have to pay to give him the tools. But then he writes later, let's say he's not quite holding, as they say, and he doesn't, you know, he's not the you know, the biggest Balkrishna in the world, and he has difficulty grasping it. So osha eino chafitz lamod ba'atzmo, or you know, he's got other things that interest him. Chayiv liskelo malame shiachrichenu v'yalabdenu heitiv kala tarsha b'ksav shabal pekula. Then you have to hire a rabbi that's going to force him and sit with him and bribe him and whatever, and in the old days beat him, not anymore, and whatever necessary to make sure that he learns. that he learns everything. Kala Torah shebiksav shabat pekula v'gam lachzor imo pa'amim rabos ad sheyazocher v'yodeya pam achas kala lach shabat Torah shabat pe. Everything. Says once he knows everything once, then it's not your responsibility. If he starts forgetting, then you don't. You're pater. Just get him to a point where he knows kala Torah kula, and then you're fine. So. This is the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch Harav, the Shita and the Shulchan Aruch Harav. Then he talks about later, this is not what they're quoting. They're quoting, this is a Perek Aleph, Hilchos Tam Torah, Siv Vav. They're quoting, all this from quoting Siv Zayin. Siv Zayin, he says, he talks about, could you take it from Meister or not? So, one place he says, Al-Kain Techashiv Lo Litztaka, Le'in She'yachal Lehotzi Kalot Tos Limit Barnav Gedol Mimos Meister Shalo, Imein Yodom Maseges. You have to read inside to see what. So it's hard to understand exactly if he's saying yes or no. I mean, I just read you a few words. So I saw some of the Svarim quote and they're saying it's mutter, some quote is saying it's asur. Al kopanim, it's definitely a machlokas posting. The Chavetz Chaim again says unequivocally it's asur. The Pri Yitzchak holds, and the Irach Hashem also says that Pri Yitzchak passing said it's mutter, and do some other gedolim. The bottom line is, though, or part of the bottom line is, a couple of things. First of all, they do bring from Rabbi Yashiv Lashal that, let's say, you could send it to a certain yeshiva where the tuition is this, but there's a better yeshiva. If you send it to a better yeshiva, but the tuition cost is greater. So that difference you could take. As long as the first yeshiva is a fine yeshiva, it's a fine yeshiva, they'll teach him how to learn, it's a fine yeshiva. So, but you want to send him to a plus yeshiva, and it's going to cost you more, that difference you could take from Meiser money, even if you hold that the Iker, the basic, you can't, like the Chavetz Chaim and others, but that difference you can take. Now, what about hiring a Rebbe or like a private tutor? So that I saw Chaluki Deis. There's the Archas Rebbeinu, the disciple seems to say it's mutter, and I saw some of the others from say it's mutter. Years ago, I heard a psak, it's only Baal Peh, I never heard a rabbi, I heard a psak, Shem Shmuel Kamenetsky, that it's not mutter. You can't take that from Meiser, because if your son is capable of learning more, then you have to teach him more. So if you could hire, if he could learn better, star more, he could learn more with a Rebbe, then that's part of your chiyuv, and the mele you can't take it. And Shmuel first also felt that way on this conversation I had with him. Just he said that's b'chal yichiyuv. That's b'chal yichiyuv. Teach him as much as you can as quickly as you can. So he felt that you should not.
The Rebbe's better than me. The Rebbe may be better. That's why I'm hiring the Rebbe. He's better. I'm not a lamdan. The Rebbe's a lamdan, so that's why I'm paying him. He's gonna do a better job than me.
Okay, but I'm talking about a Rebbe besides, you're sending him to Yeshiva already, then you're hiring a private Rebbe. It's extra.
So I can't teach him in the level he's learning at school.
Right, no, but it's not just a question of levels. He might be learning another Masechta or extra Mishnayos or whatever.
What if the tutor's just helping him with what he's doing in school?
So that, if he mamish needed that, l'chari is more push that you shouldn't take. If you hold that you can't take his basic tuition, and he needs, if he needs this Rebbe, he needs this tutor, just to get, because he's not, he can't keep up without it, so then l'chari is even more push that those who hold his usher would hold that usher. Okay, I'll just say very quickly, Rav Moshe, and then maybe we'll come back next week, because Rav Moshe says in a tshuva that wherever there's mandatory education, up to the age of mandatory education, you definitely can't take, and both for boys and girls, even for girls, where there's no chi of Talmud Torah in a girl, but if there's mandatory education, let's say till 16, you have to send her to school, so you can't send her to public school, because that's mamish, you're destroying her. So Rav Moshe writes, that becomes the davar shebechovah, and that you cannot take from Meiser. Anything beyond that, Rav Moshe says that you can. Okay, maybe we'll just come back to wrap this up, because I don't want to be too late there, but we'll finish up with the next time.